Before we begin our lesson, I think it's appropriate, as has been mentioned, for us to remember the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church and the 9 that were killed there. You know, if you've been in Sunday school or Wednesday night class with me over the last couple of years, I have given my opinion that the church will continue to move toward persecution, that things will get harder for us. And while the reasons may be different, the result may be the same. And so I would like for you to think just a little bit over the witness. You know, the word martyr has another meaning of witness. And a person who dies for the Lord witnesses. And the witness of forgiveness, which we have seen in the midst of hatred, gives us an example of what we need to be ready to do, if I'm right. Because churches are vulnerable. These folks took this man in, and he turned on them. They had no defense. We're defenseless. It's the nature of our religion to be defenseless, but to be accepting and to not be put into a life of fear, but be put into a life of our Savior, who was also defenseless. So let's remember, before we begin our lesson, what Jesus said about these kind of things. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in the heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. I'm not Leroy Garrett. I'm not going to apologize for it. I think I've done that once before, but I'm not Leroy. Leroy couldn't come. For those of you who read his essays, his last one, which I believe was number 485, he said, I can't write anymore. Okay, I don't have the strength. His goal evidently had been to get to 500, and he fell 15 short, and I would guess that's maybe a year and a half. He calls them occasional essays. And his analysis was, the whole thing is the doctors can't really find anything. I'm just too old. 97. Well, after I saw that, I knew that Leroy was scheduled to preach today, and I called him. And I said, well, Leroy, I read your essays. Does it mean you're not coming? He says, no, I'm going to try to come. And I believe I can come. And I was gone out of town, and you receive a phone call, and he said he couldn't come. My guess is he won't come again. I hope I'm wrong. Well, I'll continue to call him and ask him, but my guess is that his course of his life has run out. Now, he lives in Denton. Okay. It's not that far away. And by the way, we're happy to have one of his entourage here, even in error. And you don't need Leroy to come back. Okay. All right. Okay. He lives in Denton, and I feel sure that if you're that way or willing to take the, well, what's, what, it's an hour from Greenville. He would love for you to come by and see him. Okay. So let's don't be a stranger to Leroy, because he has come all this way so many times. Let's go on. All right. Well, so I'm sorry. If you're expecting a good sermon, this is all you're going to get. If you're a father, stand up. All right. Got everybody? Sit down. This lesson's not about you. Okay. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Father, which art in heaven. What does heaven mean? We don't really know, do we? Maybe we see a picture of it in Revelation, but is there really going to be pearl in the gates? Or is it going to be something completely different? We don't know. It's a picture, isn't it? of something that we want, we know is good. We are able to get the qualities of it. So what does God our Father mean? Well, we really don't know, do we? Okay. It is undoubtedly an expression of something that human beings are able to understand. God didn't have a wife, as far as we know. The relationship of a father to a son, or the fathers and sons, it seems to be just describing something that we can understand by looking at our father, at idealized fathers, and getting the idea. You understand what I'm saying? And when Christ says, "I and the Father are one," we'll struggle with that just a little bit. Okay, how can they be one? How can they be different? We get that. Okay, we get that. But at the same time, you know, the Lord said, "Let us make man in our image." There is something about the fatherhood of God which speaks to us as fathers, to speaks to us as children, to speaks to us as families. Okay, it's not all just some kind of metaphor, is it? It reveals something about God, and it reveals something about us. So as we think of fathers today, let's think of this day as being God's day as our Father. Okay? Did anybody send him a card? Didn't do it, did you? Well, I don't have his address. Okay. All right. And I'm sure he would rather have a prayer than a card anyway. If my daughter is going to send me a card, it didn't come. So what we find out as we think about God being our Father is we find out something about how to be a father. We find out something about what fatherhood really means. And we find something about a relationship which we should have. Okay? How sad it is for people who have bad fathers, and there are bad fathers out there today, aren't there? Maybe you had one. Okay. Maybe you had a father that failed you. Maybe you had a father that ran off and left you. Maybe you had a father that didn't support you. Maybe you had a father that did mean things to you. Okay. And what a great loss that must be. And I think I'm probably on firm ground to say that probably all of us, just when we got about 25 or so years old, saw some definite shortfallings in our fathers. Now, if you're not this far along, you get about 50 and you realize that, you know, we're throwing stones at a glass house, okay, that we all have shortcomings, okay. But maybe some are worse than others. So if you have a bad father or no father or that, you're going to have to think with me a little bit about a good father, okay, a good father. Somebody who supports you. Now, they don't hold you up. They don't prop you up when you don't need it, but they support you. Somebody who is there for you. They may not buy your first car for you. Okay. All you fathers, there's a lesson in that. Don't do it. Okay. Never mind. You know, they may not give you an unlimited allowance. My daddy played 42. You know what 42 is? It's a domino game, kind of like bridge with dominoes, just a little bit like that. And he had, in the church, there were two partners, and he played with Jimmy Wilson. And he played with Brother Meggs and Brother Perry, who were an elder and a deacon. And they played every Tuesday night for a long time. And Jimmy Wilson was his partner. And my daddy, I don't know if you all know how to play 42, but You bid a number and you have to make it. And most of us, when we look at our hands, we want to bid about 30, 31. 30 is the lowest you can bid, you know what I'm saying? And Daddy didn't even need to look at his hand to bid 36, okay? Because he knew that Jimmy Wilson would always be there for him. Well, Jimmy's son and daughter, I was in the same grade with her, and her son was 2 years older than me, and Jimmy had a used car lot. Down on Gaston Avenue. You ever been down on Gaston Avenue? And it used to be all on the other side of Baylor Hospital. It used to be nothing but used car lots. And Jimmy's kids all always had a 409 Chevy or, a Dodge Charger Hemi. They always had a car. And when I was walking from the school bus five blocks to J.O. Long Junior High, and Charles was in high school, he used to always drive by me and just keep right on going. It's kind of the way high school kids are. And I wondered to myself, why isn't my daddy that good? I went to him and said, Dad, I want a car. And he goes, that's fine, you can have a car. I was 20 at a time, and I kind of looked at him. And I realized that when I said I want a car, I mean, I want you to buy me a car. And when he said, you can have a car, go ahead and buy one. Didn't understand. Okay. We all have different fathers, but we all have the same father. You know, Malachi, when he talks to the errant Israelites, he says, do we not all have the same father? One of the things that the Israelite nation had or should have had, particularly in the Old Testament, was this concept that they were children of God. Okay, John the Baptist, will give them and says, you say you're children of Abraham. Okay, but they had this idea that somehow God had produced them. I guess it went back to the Exodus, by bringing them out, by making them the people, by giving them the law. And so we find in Scripture this constant, repetitive idea that God's looking out for us. That we're family. And that we're family, not maybe in direct blood relationship this way, but in relationship this way. And so as we look at our Father today, we need to realize that. Am I the only one that lives their life feeling that God is looking down on me? That He's thinking about me? Now, if you do the math, okay, there's six or 7 billion people in the world, and how can one guy look down on one God, one Father, look down on everybody? Well, of course, we don't do that math because we feel like God looks down on us. Okay, we don't do the math because we feel this direct relationship. And if you feel like God is looking down on you in a judgmental way, you need to look at the way God looked down on His real Son. Now, real is not a very good word here. Okay. On His only begotten Son. On His born Son. Because God didn't look at Jesus that way. God looked at Jesus all the time. You know, it is clear from Scripture, from the Gospels, that Jesus and God had a communication thing going. Didn't mean He didn't pray. Didn't mean that He didn't feel forsaken on the cross, but they had this thing going. Okay, they had this thing going. And that tells us something about fatherhood. Now, all you fathers that stood it up, and all you people that are going to be fathers, and all you that are mothers or not mothers, all of you, I want you to realize that that is an ideal for us as a relationship to establish in our lives. Okay, we need to have these things going with each other. Certainly, fathers and sons, fathers and daughters need to have this thing going. It needs to be there. There needs to be this idea of daddy, okay? Of daddy. Not of a stern father, but of a loving father. You know, Jesus said at His most intense time of His life, I think we would agree in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark tells us, He said, Abba, Father. Abba is kind of like Papa. Okay, it's a familiar term of Father. He's saying Father twice. But one of the times He's saying Daddy, He's saying Papa. Some families have particular names for daddies and granddaddies. It's that kind of thing. And so as we our fathers and experience fatherhood, we need to realize that that kind of thing needs to be going on. And one of the ways to do it is to finish the sentence. I'm a father. All things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. What cup is he talking about? Dying on the cross. Yet not what I will, but what you will. When we grow up, and I don't know what age this takes place, I guess it varies a little, we begin to realize that whatever mother or daddy would want, I don't necessarily have to want it. Maybe this is the terrible twos. Certainly it's a good description of the teenage years. Okay? We get this idea that I can kind of do what I want, and then you realize you can't do what you want because you got a daddy or a mother. Okay? And then you spend a lot of your time trying to figure out ways to get around it to do what they want. Welcome to my world. Okay? Welcome to my world. We've probably all been there, haven't we? Okay, yeah. That's, psychologists call that differentiation. A little baby born at its mother's breast does not realize that there's any difference between it and its mother. Okay? They didn't realize it. But as they grow, as they get older, as they begin to understand things, as they spend time away, I think this is probably one of the reasons that babies just cry when they wake up, they are beginning to understand that there's something different. Okay? Maybe that's a good description of original sin, if you believe in that concept. I'm different than God. I did something God didn't want me to do, and I got away with it. The lightning bolt didn't hit me. By the way, the lightning bolt didn't hit me in Colorado, but it came pretty close. Those folks don't have big thunderstorms, but man, they got a lot of lightning in them. Of course, when you're already up at 10,000 feet, you're closer to the Lord. Part of our life is figuring out how not to do what God wants. And figuring out how not to follow Daddy. And our goal in life should be not what I will, but what you will. And if there is a lesson in the fatherhood of God, it is the lesson that He leads us in the right path, just like He led Jesus, His real son, in the right path. May not be smooth, may be rocky, may require us to be tough and to be brave, may require us to be something like our Father is, but He leads us there. And so we can think, no matter whether our dad is alive or dead, no matter whether he was a good father or a bad father or in between, which probably most of them were, we can realize that we've got a daddy that we can follow. Boy, I hit one too many there. What I would like for you fathers to be, think, and you who are not yet a father, or you who have missed a father, or you who miss your father, I would like for you to think for just a little while today that you still got one. Okay? And that you can look upon God the Father, the Creator of the universe, okay, who spoke things and they happened. You can also look on Him as a person with whom you can have this special relationship. This idealized relationship of someone who cares for you, who wants the best for you. May not buy you a 409 Chevrolet. Okay. Yeah, does everybody know what a 409 Chevrolet was? Okay, well, never mind. She's real fine, my 409. Come on, y'all. I got at least a heard. Tom's with me, right? Yeah, that's right. But He cares for you. And He wants the best for you. And He's happy when you succeed. Okay? So on this Father's Day, let's just think a little bit about that. Okay? Let's just think about that we have a Father who is happy when we succeed, and let's make Him happy, and let's succeed in our lives.